Hi, Minx. It's Sasha. Great to hear your voice.
Oh, so great to be back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How's your dog?
He is in recovery.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought she was going to die, and she is now...
Sounded like it.
And, huh?
It sounded like it.
Yeah, she was direly, direly sick. And, you know, 9 days in the hospital and many thousands of dollars later.
Totally.
You know, at home, eating, walking, you know, getting back to her sweet self. And,
because she's going to really make a full recovery?
You know, the things that are remain to be seen are her kidneys, because they failed. And, you know, some of that can come back because of the nature of what she had, like an acute infection can cause kidney failure, but be reversible. Usually the liver is easier, but, you know, we'll see with how her kidneys go. So far, things are going in the right direction, so she has more work in maybe a week or so, and we'll see how her progress is.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Can I ask you a question? With all that's going on in Boulder, is there a lot of background noise from me?
I'm sorry?
Is there a lot of background noise from me?
From you? No.
Okay, because I'm in a coffee house, and it's the only place I could connect to the Internet.
Oh.
So hopefully everybody will be able to hear me okay.
I hope so. Yeah, you know, the calls are funny. I listened back through the ones that I missed, and sometimes it goes totally silent, like as if the recording's not working, and then other times, like all this echo and noise, and then sometimes it's just perfect. Seems very mysterious, the technology piece.
I know. It's, I'm sorry about that. I'm not on the technology end, and I'm glad that they record it, but hopefully it's serving people and not just being more of a challenge.
No, it's really helpful. You know, there's little gaps, kind of like wonder, it makes you think, and but all in all, it's a very helpful tool. I was very actually happy that those recordings were available because there was no way for me to show up for the live moments.
Right.
Yeah. Right. How are you doing? Everything
it's a mess. It's devastating here. Hi, Jenny and Anna. It's Minx and Sasha.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing, Sasha? How's everything? Your world?
Well, the sun is shining for the moment, but I was just telling Minx it's devastation here. It's just awful to see. The stories are, I heard this morning that after Katrina, it's the largest evacuation by helicopter, the second largest evacuation by helicopter in our country.
Oh, my
God.
Isn't that crazy?
I have not heard that much press about it.
It's massive. Well, you know, it's headline news for one day, and then it's something else, another crisis in the world.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm glad you're okay. How's your apartment? Is it intact-ish?
No. They ripped up the floors yesterday or two days ago, and they're drying them out with dryers, and they're putting the flooring in.
Hopefully
Wednesday. Oh yeah, it's awful. But I'm like not even the worst of what's going on here. People have lost their homes to mudslides.
Wow.
Cars to raging waters. I mean, it's all relative, but a lesson in all of it. I just haven't found it yet.
Well.
Something about water.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing the call, Sasha.
I know.
Oh, you're welcome. I couldn't do it on Thursday, so thank all of you for rescheduling. I didn't want to go too far into the holidays with skipping a week. I think it keeps the continuity. Hi, Mel. Welcome. Were you supposed to be on the call? Oh, yeah, you're missing Thursday. You're missing Thursday, right?
I have to miss Thursday, too. I'm so sad.
Got it. I'm trying to keep everything straight. Well, I just got a few emails from Nicole's going to be late. Ashley and Cynthia cannot make it. So we're just waiting for Kia. And hopefully she'll show because she's our coach today. If not, we'll
improvise.
Exactly.
Mel, is it what, Mel and Manx are on the phone. Anna knows Vinny. Vinny is coming to New York, and we all have to go to this teacher's class on Thursday during the call, and I have to show up. I love Vinny. He's my good friend, but, you know, I'd rather do this.
So Mel, Manx, and Jenny will not be on Thursday?
Is that right? Correct? I won't be. Jenny won't be, for sure. Minx, are you not there on Thursday?
No.
Hi.
Okay. Just shoot me an email to that, if you guys don't mind. Just remind me.
Yep.
Okay. And I have to apologize because the only place I can connect to internet right now is at a coffee house. So I will try to cover the microphone as much as I can when I'm not talking, but I apologize if there's background noise. I just tried to get as far away from the barista as I possibly could. Can you guys hear me okay? Is it terrible?
Yeah. Good.
Yep.
Yeah, are you great?
Okay,
great. Question.
Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin with the grounding. And who would like to lead us through that?
I nominate Minx.
You can't nominate anyone. You can only vote.
Mel doesn't want to do it.
That's funny.
I'll do it. It's Minx. Jenny asserted my desire, but she knows my inner child. Okay, welcome back, Melanie.
Hi, honey.
All right. So I'm going to do the grounding. So if you can close, shift attention at least a little inward, maybe half close your eyes if you're not able to close them all the way. And just start to feel the overall sensations. So the sensations that you feel in your body, the feeling of the breath, and maybe even take a moment to just be aware of what the mind is up to. And beyond the body, breath, and mind, sense just your pure and infinite presence. And from the place of your pure and infinite presence, just reconnect to the sense of the breath, the mind, and the body. And from this place of all these intertwined, we'll start our session together. Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you, Minx. Beautiful. All right, so welcome, everyone. I would like to go around one at a time and give you an opportunity to share briefly one win and one of the action challenges that you took, hopefully, on page 6 of the yoga supplement. Who would like to start us off?
Jenny wants to.
I love that.
All right. I'm going to have to separate you two. That's hilarious. That's just great. I love it.
I can start. It's Minx.
Thank you.
Oh, no. I was on mute, but I was talking. Sorry.
Oh,
was,
you were?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Okay, so an action challenge. Is that what you asked for us to do first, right?
Either first or second, but just one of your wins. And then rather than one of your challenges personally, I wanted to talk a little bit about the homework and the action challenge. So whichever order you prefer.
Would you do me a favor, and because I missed that very, very first day, and I did listen to the session, but will you remind me exactly what does a win mean?
A win is, hold on. A win, sorry, I don't know if I was muted. Something that, exciting, different, wonderful that happened to you this week because of this journey that we're on together, something that maybe shifted, maybe a shift for you.
Okay. The win and the action challenge are actually kind of woven together for me right now because they work together. So I'm going to just tell you both of them. Is that okay? Hello?
Yes, and I'm going to stay muted while I'm not talking so you guys have
Okay. Okay, so I just finished a teacher training yesterday, Minx and Mel. It was my 30th teacher training. I know. So it's incredible that I've done so many. And over the past 9 years that I've been teaching trainings, I've really suffered a lot as a result of some of the ways that I've behaved in the training, especially with assistants. And I noticed it about 3 years ago, and I started changing it, where I was unwilling to – I mean, this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm just telling you guys. I was not very – forthcoming when it came to like giving my assistants tasks. Like I didn't want to let go of any control. I was like, and I was very, I would give them things sparsely to do and didn't really empower them. And when I noticed that was happening, a few years ago, I started trying to change that. And this past weekend was the final day. Yesterday was the final day of this 9 months long, 200-hour training, infinite. And I had these two amazing assistants, and by the end of the training yesterday, like we were all sitting together and we do this whole sharing circle cry, the tissue box gets passed around. And the way that the students talked about the three of us was like we were all working together, and it was made me so happy that I'd come so far in terms of like being willing to share the spotlight, I guess, and in that share the work. Like they helped me so much more because I was willing to give them some, sometimes I let them be in front of the mic, in front of the camera a lot more. And as a they're helping me more, which means it takes a load off of me, and they're feeling great. So it's like everybody wins. And I feel like it was really connected to this. Although I did kind of start this work before this training with you started, I feel like it really has complemented it really well and just empowering other people and letting go of needing to be in charge, because it's like, I don't want to be in charge. So ultimately, and it was really beautiful just to see how much praise they got. And I felt no twinges of jealousy or, what about me? No, I'm the one that's really training them and they're my assistant. None of that stuff which used to come up came up. So that was exciting.
That's crazy. 30.
That's awesome. I feel like I should get a plaque. I mean, I think that's more than anyone else at Yoga Works. What do you think, Minx?
I think so. Jenny,
yeah.
You helped train me.
Yeah.
A lot of love.
Easy.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway, so that felt really, really good to just like just to let that go. It was like thank God, you know, the shackle of like needing to be the one of like, it's not, you know, I mean, it's gotten a lot better over the years, but it's really, really shifted where I'm happy for other people when they get praise, like really happy for them.
Yeah.
So embarrassing to have to admit that, but.
No, I think it's empowering to admit that. And it's not an admittance so much as I think it's bringing clarity around where you want to grow more as a teacher and as an individual. And I'm just so absolutely thrilled that some of the work that we've been doing together in the 4 short weeks that we've been together is showing up in your life in ways that, you know, you're seeing the difference. You're noticing a difference. So I think that's awesome. And thank you for sharing your truth. Nikki, welcome to the call. We're sharing one win and one of the action challenges that was part of the OM work on page 6 of the yoga supplement. I'm not calling on you to go next. You can if you want to, but I just wanted to acknowledge you on the call. Anyone else can go next.
I'm going to jump in. This is Mel.
Okay. Thanks, Mel.
So this past week I have been on a extended family vacation. So we had my in-laws and my brother-in-law and all kinds of people sharing a place on the waterfront in Tahoe, and it was beautiful, incredibly beautiful and spacious. And so I really allowed myself to be very present there, and I'll just name it as an addiction. I have an addiction to technology, and so that obsessive behavior that, you know, I don't know, checking email or Facebook or reading the news, whatever, just having it in my hand, I was able to, for the most part, not do it, which was really soothing and helpful and nourishing. And I have to say that that's what I feel like, you know, coming on to this call with you guys. I really see this as filling my cup, and because I put a lot out, and sometimes I become a bit of a martyr where I feel like I have to do everything myself and nobody's helping me. So I feel like in kind of an action challenge, my week also kind of I was able to be present and then able to kind of follow through of like, okay, I'm not going to be codependent with the people around me who were staying with me who tried to pull me into different things, just like, you know, guilt trips and things like that. And I said, no, I'm going to go swimming for 20 minutes on my own. You know, it's really okay. You know, I think of the action challenge just means, you know, being more just like, if I can take care of myself better, then I can help other people take care of themselves better. And if I'm cleaner on how I take care of myself and don't have a guilt trip and the whole story that goes around it, then I'm going to do better with them too, that I can just stay in my own sphere, solid and independent, and be a sounding board and a mirror. So anyway, so like today, this week was really successful. In that, I'm going to keep it. Hopefully now I'm home. Sesame Street is playing behind me. I can keep it.
That's awesome, Mel. Thank you. I love the phrase filling your cup.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just a beautiful way to put it. And in July, I was in Tahoe for an awesome Add Into the World training, and it is spectacular there. So I can totally relate to the beauty. So I hope you enjoyed your vacation. Thank you for sharing. And who wants to go next?
Mink, I'll go next.
Thank you.
Yeah, so my huge win is, you know, with all the time and energy and and worry with my dog, she is looking like she's going to recover really well and, you know, live some more time with us, which I am just completely thrilled about. And so that's, yeah, that just feels like an enormous, enormous win for me. I was really worried about her for a while there. And, you know, amidst all of that, it also just felt like a win to be able to recognize the extensive support system that was there to help me through that process. So that, you know, is like a double win. Challenge is now that that's all done, I'm really behind on everything. and so, you know, looking at all my commitments that sort of drop by, you know, the wayside and upcoming commitments, I'm feeling very overwhelmed, and it's feeling like a challenge to see all of that and shift into possibility perspective instead of just, you know, silently sitting there stressing as I stare at it all is kind of how it feels. And that's for me. That's what's up on the table.
Well, I'm sure I speak for most everyone on the call, but we're so happy that your dog has really made a huge turnaround. And, you know, one day at a time, you know, to breathe and to know that you will catch up. You will catch up with all the work. So thank you for sharing. I believe we have Nikki and Anna left to go. Are either of you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, it's Nikki. Sorry, I was having technical difficulty. Okay, so one of my goals was to do this 21-day detox. It's like it's a reset, and I've been procrastinating it for, like, since I moved here, 6 months. And my stepdad and my sister-in-law and my brother all decided that they would do it with me, and we've been doing it, and we're 7 days in. And it has been extremely challenging, but I'm doing it, and that's my win because it was on my, SMART goals. It was one of my SMART goals to start it. And so that's my win, is that I'm 7 days in. And my challenge is I'm 7 days in, and I'm really tired and a little spacey. And today is my son's birthday. And I'm crazy busy with getting his birthday party together, and I am just dealing with the fatigue of it all. But that's where I'm at today, and that's why I feel a little scattered, because I literally ran in from picking him up from school and getting him down for a nap. So that's it. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate you making time for the call. Happy birthday to your son. How old is he?
He is 3 years old. That's so big.
So big. He'll be going off to college soon. So the good news, the win, is that you're 7 days into your detox, and maybe the challenge is you have 14 days to go. So I just want to acknowledge you stepping into one of your SMART goals. I'm also a health and wellness coach, and fatigue is caused by dehydration, so make sure you're drinking a ton of water, and make sure I don't know what your detox plan looks like, but, you know, you need to be hydrating as much as possible, okay? Talk to me offline if you want more info. All right, Anna.
And Greece is nice. It's actually
I'm
the weather.
I'm coming there.
Yes, please. All of you are invited. So the challenge for me this week has been I'm getting ready to go to Santorini Island and teach a yoga work training. And it's coming along really nicely because here in Greece I do all the organizing, bringing the manuals, doing all the little work that the department, like there's a department for that in America, but here in Greece I do all the organizing for the Greek training. So it's really a good feeling that things are coming along, and from what the people are going to eat when they're there, to the manuals, to all the props that I need to take with, getting all the things organized. So this is a very nice feeling. Now the challenge though is that I haven't been taking care of very well myself, and today I got up with kind of like an upset stomach that made me really slow down and kind of reconnect again and say, okay, what's up? You can do all of this, but it's really, really important to slow down for a minute. So today was a good time that I kind of had an aha moment of, okay, everything will be done, but take the time to breathe and kind of like relax a little bit in between. And that worked really well for me, because through the training, I kind of realized that you do need to take that space away from what's happening to kind of reassess and understand where you are and bring awareness to what's going on. Well, my upset stomach brought that awareness to me, but it's kind of, the connections happen, that we all need space through a chaotic situation. And it's so useful to pull away and then recoup again and go again. So this is what's been going on for me this week.
Awesome. Thanks, Anna. And yeah, the universe will remind us very quickly if it needs us to slow down. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so paying attention is super, super critical. So I'm glad you're doing a bit of self-care and hopefully re-energizing. Okay, I think that's all that we have on the call. Just to let you know, I sent Kia a text and an email. She is supposed to be the coach today. I didn't hear that she wasn't going to be on the call. So I don't know if I hope this will work out for you. I just need to make some shifts. And would Minx be up for coaching Anna and Mel being the primary observer?
I can give it a try. I haven't finished doing all the reading and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm happy to give it a whirl. I don't feel like I'm very familiar with all the tools just yet. But it'll be great to get the feedback. So I'm completely willing. I just, feel, hope that Anna's open to being coached by someone not familiar with all the tools.
Absolutely.
Okay, the other option, and it's totally up to you, Minx, and I apologize for having this conversation take up some of our time, but Mel's already coached. So Anna, you could be the coach. Mel could be the client, and Minx can be the primary observer. I just wanted to clarify who's doing what so you guys can be prepared as much as you can without being distracted from the content of the call.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mel. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm open.
I would love
Minx, let me allow you to make the decision.
Who?
Minx, will you let us know what you feel most comfortable with?
Well, I can try it.
Great. All right. That's awesome. I love that.
Dive in.
That. So Minx will be the coach, Anna's the client, and Mel, you're the primary observer, okay?
Perfect.
All right, and then I'll send out another round of an updated coach the coach schedule. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing your week. And again, thank you for being available to do a makeup call today. I'd like for everyone to turn to page 113 in their manuals. And let me get to this page. Today we're going to be talking about how to hear the coachable moments, as well as discerning the best ways to further the coaching process. So it talks a little bit about hearing and seizing the coachable moments or the coachable agenda on page 113. And if you have a chance, this is what I sent to you after, prior to last Thursday's call to general reading. Did everyone have a chance to look through page 113 through 4, or just kind of peruse through it?
I kind of didn't.
Okay.
Yes, this is.
We'll just do it together.
I looked at it, but I didn't read it.
Well, okay. All right, well, let's just kind of go through it together here because there is a lot of reading. And, you know, we just pick out from the coach training the things that are we feel are the most important for you guys to learn to sort of get a grasp of this coaching process. So on page 113, Mel, if you would just read just read the first three paragraphs, please.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Now I can't.
Okay, guys, here
are
I am.
Are you reading?
Sorry. I was having a mute difficulty. Okay, a coachable moment is where the coach has an intuitive about what's at the center of the client's agenda and checks that inkling with the client. No doubt that in some of the previous dialogues, you could sense the best direction to go in that conversation. Coachable moments are potential roads to travel with the client towards their destination. The intended outcome of exploring coachable moments is to help the client shift perspective relating to their agenda. Coachable moments are not the point in the session to strategize or decide next steps. That comes later.
Okay, and just finish reading that last paragraph, please.
The coach's job is to notice these potential roads to explore and initiate a timely investigation into one or several as needed and as time allows. Not all coachable moments are equal in importance. Begin by probing about the most useful or the most urgent point. To be a masterful coach, seize the best one and explore that first.
So, thank you. We touched on this a little bit when we were going through the five steps of the simple coaching model, right? Seizing that coachable moment where it's sort of an aha moment. It's a place where you can help the client shift their perspective. And that is actually what we're looking for. It's the place where the dynamics of this coaching process actually. So I want to just open it up to the group. If you've ever been on either end of a aha moment, maybe with your students as a student or as a teacher, but I want to bring it to the yoga piece first and just draw the parallel to yoga. We talked about this briefly, but I want to, it's super, super important to understand this piece and shifting the perspective. So just maybe one or two people, if you want to share an experience that you've had where you were like, okay, this is really, having this aha moment and gaining clarity is really going to shift how I look at things. It's going to shift how I go about whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's your practice, whether it's your teaching, whether it's exploring mentor coaching, but it's just something that enables you and it empowers you. It's sort of it's like a light bulb that goes off and like, wow, that is something I never thought of until this moment. Does anybody want to share an experience that they've had in the yoga studio?
I'll share one. Oh, mine was going to be about Jenny.
Well, we may need to check in with Jenny.
No, it was Jenny was my teacher, and it changed my whole world actually because it was the teacher training, and I'm super bendy, and I had no idea how much I was using my flexibility almost as a crutch to get into poses and to hold poses. I would just kind of jump into everything, and she made me aware that I wasn't using any strength. And in fact, I was like relying on my flexibility solely to accomplish all the poses. And it was a huge moment because obviously when you realize that you're dumping into just every joint and muscle that you can to accomplish a pose, and then you go about it from a different way, it changes every pose. And so it literally changed yoga for me. So it was a huge aha moment.
That is, I love that. That is so awesome. So just give me an example of a pose that shifted for you. Like, what felt different somatically in your body?
Yeah. So, let me try to think right now because I have not taught in so long. Not partial.
Urdhva Dhanurasana.
not even Urdhva Dhanurasana. I'm trying to think. Hold on. Warrior two, you put your hand on, you put your arm over your ear.
Parsvakonasana?
Is it Parsvakonasana? Yeah. Yes, Parsvakonasana. Oops. Was that Jenny?
It's okay. Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
That was my, this is Nikki, my buns were lower than my knee. Okay, so if you think of the pose,
oh, Nikki,
my hands was on the floor, my arm was over my ear, and my buns were literally lower than my knee, almost touching the floor. And then when I thought that I needed to... Hey, Jenny. No, I'm still talking about it. So my arms over my ears, my hands on the floor, and my butt was, like, lower than my knee, like, so dumping into that pose. And just realizing that I needed to use my pelvic floor and that I needed to feel like my heel was moving towards my back arch and my back arch was moving towards my heel and just sucking all the energy back in instead of just dumping into it. That was a pose that I think was the one that where Jenny showed me that I was doing it. It could have been a million because heaven knows I was dumping into every single pose.
Sorry, Nikki, I knew that was you. And how did it, you know, make you feel otherwise? Like, how was that going to show up differently in your practice?
There was a completely new energy when I came to every single practice because, again, I came from a dance background. I came from a dance world. So the more bendy, the better. And you didn't need to have strength because it was about the look of the pose instead of the integrity of the pose. And so, obviously, every time I came to the practice, I realized that there was something almost invisible that I was trying to achieve. It wasn't about the exact look of the pose. It was about what I was feeling and what I was working in the pose. And obviously, you can translate that off the mat easily, you know, and it definitely did translate off the mat as well.
Well, that's an open door. How did it translate off the mat?
Well, because I think, you know, again, we were in the teacher training, and you start looking at things, and I realized that I had, for a long time, been trying to create a look of my life instead of being from a place of integrity and a place that was about me. It was how did my life look? How did my relationship look? Not how it actually was. And so it you know, helped that shift.
Thank you so much for sharing. That is just a great and beautiful parallel. So can the rest of you see how important it is to get to this point in your coaching relationship with your client, that this is really where the meat of the coaching process takes place? I mean, and there's no way to know. There's no certain time frame, and that's not really the goal. Like, you shouldn't feel discouraged if you're not having an aha moment in the first or maybe even second session, but trust that process will absolutely happen. And as you build the foundation and grow stronger in your ability to apply these principles, if you go forward with coaching or even when you deal with your students in the studio, trust that this process will allow that aha moment to happen, but we're going to be more aware of it rather than just sort of bypassing it. So if you look at the bottom of page 113 and into 114, there are these 9 subtle clues that are listed. And as you learn to see how these clues show up, you'll have a greater sense of being aware of an aha moment or a coachable moment, as they say in the book. So, Anna, would you read those 9 for us, please?
On page 113, right? The 9?
Yes.
that
114,
we use?
Correct.
114,
yes,
okay.
Correct.
Offbeat or repeated words and phrases, missing pieces in the story, strong or weak energy, inconsistent statements, nervous laughter or signs, sudden stroke or contradictory emotions, assumptions, interpretations, limited perspectives, inflation of roles, throwaway comments.
Great, thank you. And Anna, could you pick one that speaks to you or that you need more information around? I just want to see where these land with you guys.
I actually am not quite, I read about this, but I'm not very clear about the throwaway comments.
Throwaway comments. Okay, so turn to that section. I'm going to find it. If somebody finds it first, let me. Bottom of page 123. Okay. So just read that first paragraph for us.
Sure. Throwaway comments are dismissed words or phrases hurried through or muttered under the breath. Train yourself to hear these as if they were spoken loudly and clearly. They often point to the coachable moment.
Does that give you a little bit more clarity? Because I can kind of give you an example.
Yeah, please do, because I read through the example. Again, I wasn't clear.
Right, and I'm not going to go through this example, but just, you know, when you're talking to someone, when you're in a coaching session, and we've all done it before, I know that I'm not guilty, but I've had that experience before where I'll say something a little bit lower in volume, almost under my breath, where it's something that I'm feeling and I know needs to come out, but I'm uncertain as to what those words are going to mean or what that language is going to mean. And so I really soften the tone, almost like I'm saying it, but I don't want someone to hear me say it. Well, it's important enough that it's actually coming, that I'm putting some language around it. And so when you're talking to somebody and if they've got this rhythm or tone or particular volume to the conversation and then all of a sudden that volume or tone changes, that's what they're asking you to do here, is to be aware of a shift of something that they are saying, but maybe not in the same way, not with the same empowerment, not with the same decisiveness, not with the same clarity.
Okay.
So does that make sense? I mean, sometimes
yes,
kids
yes.
will sort of, I remember when I was a kid, my mom like, just don't mumble and like, say what you mean, you know, tell me what you're talking about. And it's something we almost mutter under our breath. That's just one way of looking at it. But what the book is saying here is to not let that slide. Investigate that and explore that a little bit deeper.
Okay. Makes sense. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And these, if you've never heard these before, it's kind of, you know, it's new. So anyone else want to pick another one and either comment on it or have you need more information on it? Because, you know, you can read through these, but, you know, it's a place for us to just communicate.
These nine types of subtle clues are like the story of my life. God, I read these and I was like, oh my God, me. I mean, it's amazing because I'm definitely have done all of these things. And I think that as a result of being familiar with all of these kinds of behavior, I definitely recognize them in other people. That's kind of one of the benefits of being, you know, guilty of all of these things. But the nervous laughter is, I catch myself doing that a lot, and the sighing. And I definitely know that when I sigh, my mother used to sigh all the time. It drove me crazy because it's almost like a passive aggressive kind of thing in a way.
Right.
Especially when you do it with someone right there, you know, it's and it's an unconscious sort of way of giving some information. But and then when I catch myself, like I just watched that horrible YouTube teacher training thing that we have on the internet for, I don't know if some of you done that for teacher training, and I watched myself doing it, and I was like, oh my God, nervous laughter. It's just a sign of insecurity or not being sure about what I'm saying or, you know, and that's something that I'm definitely working on. And when I hear other people do it, I have a lot of compassion, you know, and it kind of makes me kind of soften toward them and try to make them feel a little bit more comfortable. But I can relate to every single one of these.
And the fact that you can relate to all of these is actually a great strength. It's not an inward self-speak. It's more of who just joined?
Hi, it's Kia. I'm feeling so late.
Oh, that's okay, Kia. That's all right. I just didn't hear who was on the line. Anyway, so just to finish up that thought for Jenny, I mean, it gives you the ability to empathize with people that are feeling that same way. And if you don't mind, at the top of page 119, could you just read the first paragraph under nervous laughter or sighs?
Sure. Little audible sounds are similar to body language. Yep. Usually they indicate that there is more to what's being said than what the words convey alone. It's a clue for the coach to listen closely and possibly ask the client about the sound. Ooh, that's hard to do. So what was that little nervous laughter about, you know? I mean, it seems like the direct route, you know. But, because I don't think people are aware of it at all, so to ask them directly kind of puts people on the spot, but maybe that's helpful sometimes. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
You can?
Sorry, I was on mute. I totally hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that you put it into language will sound more accusatory or judgmental versus opening up the conversation.
Right.
Yeah, inquisitive. Like, tell me more. What's that about? Where do you feel that in your body? I mean, just probing, inquisitive, compassionate, open-ended questions that invite the client to explore that in a non-intimidating environment.
Right. It's all in the delivery, really.
Absolutely. So I'll give time for maybe one more if anybody wants to speak to any of these other seven that weren't mentioned.
Sasha, it's Minx.
Great. Go ahead, Minx.
I was wondering if you could talk about role inflation a little bit more.
Sure. Let's turn to that page. That would be on page 122. So if you wouldn't mind, Minx, would you read the first paragraph for us?
Absolutely. Role inflation. Often when an individual takes on a new job or position, they inflate that role. There's the perspective that, quote, it's all up to me now. They forget about support systems and resources and begin a pattern of stress. It's a lonely place to be, and it stops progress in its tracks. As a new coach, you may be able to relate to this.
So how do you understand that paragraph?
Well, I was wondering if it meant like that a person imagines there's more expected of them from their job than actually is, or if it means they're just not, or maybe both, they're not tapping into the resources that are around them to help them accomplish whatever they perceive their job to be. I don't know. I guess I just wanted to hear more from someone who's experienced a client, you know, immersed in role inflation, what that actually looks like and what the implications are and how to recognize it and then move them forward.
Right. And those are great inquiries. And I think it's absolutely a combination of both. It's I was dealing with, I was working with, that was my outside voice. I was working with a client who just got a huge promotion in the corporate world. And, you know, she's really excited about it. And it's, you know, real super competitive with the male industry. And, you know, she deserved it. She's a brilliant woman. And I think after it unfolded a few sessions in, it was like she almost felt like she wasn't deserving. Like she got this, but then really didn't feel like she fit the bill. So I think she felt like she had to work even harder to prove herself to more of the team of males and females, but males around her that were vying for the same job. And so she took on so much herself that she didn't even want to tap into the resources of her team to help support her in actually having her feel successful and the team feel successful in their specific, their management team and their specific management styles. And so we talked about it, and what came out was that it really wasn't clear what her role was. I mean, she knew she had the title, but as far as job description, it wasn't clear, and so she felt like she had to do it all herself. But underlying that, and this might be true for a lot of women, you know, when they're in positions that men have as well, is questioning their ability to do a great job, or maybe feeling, we stopped working together before this happened, but maybe feeling intimidated or threatened, or that people weren't supporting her because she got that role. And so it's sort of a combination of both. Unfortunately, in that specific instance, things came up and our coaching relationship dissolved. But that's the best example that I can give as to role inflation. I hope that brings a little bit of clarity.
Yeah, thank you. That was really helpful.
Can I ask you one quick thing about that? So you said your coaching relationship dissolved. Was that because you brought up things that she didn't want to explore, kind of? Or?
Not at all. Not at all. It was a time in her life where she just decided that it was too much. I can't really speak for her, but
right.
It wasn't anything that we were communicating in the conversation. It was just her life got so crazy, and
right. This
is one of the things that she let go of.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. I'd like for us, the last few minutes here before we go into Coach the Coach, to turn to I'm going backwards here. Give me a second while I get there. Did you guys have a chance to read this section?
I didn't.
I read it quickly. But
okay.
I love all of this reading so much. But yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. So on page 69, you know, just moving briefly into discerning the best ways to further the coaching process, and we talked about this a little bit before, just with Jenny naming the things that you do and that you notice that you do, and when you see it in people, you can come from a place of compassion, and it's also coming from a place of empathy. Can anyone tell me what their definition of empathy is? Or how you understand empathy to be defined? And you can read. Okay. Kia, would you read the third paragraph down, developing empathy?
Developing empathy with another is predicated on first doing so with yourself. If you are not genuinely aware of how you're experiencing the world, you cannot become accurately aware of another person's perspective. Empathy is a way of listening to yourself or to another person with resonance of an entire experience of feeling, thinking, perceiving, and behaving. I always think of it as feeling somebody else.
Feeling someone else. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love what it says in the beginning, that if you're not genuinely aware of how you are experiencing the world, you cannot become accurately aware of another person's perspective. I really feel that as yoga teachers, we are gifted with the ability to have that awareness. I think our practice and the practice of asana, meditation, pranayama, gives us that opportunity to create more awareness as to how those things show up. So would anybody be able to share a parallel to an experience in the yoga studio where they were on the receiving end or the giving end of empathy and what happened in that situation?
Hey guys, it's Mel. I'm trying to think of a very specific time, and I have to say I feel like it's a consistent where, you know, just having a moment where I was allowing myself to see someone and just inquire with compassion how they are or how they were doing, or even you could take that to touching them with compassion and really seeing them, all of them, before I approach them, I have found has a very softening effect on the student, and also they become very, very receptive. I can see a shift in their perception of either me or themselves or the world. Like I can see something shift where suddenly they see more possibility.
Thank you. That's great. And do you still work with this person right now?
Well, I have to say that I feel like that is kind of like the general MO of what happens for me in the asana room, where it's like, oh, yeah, there's asana happening, but I think there's empathy happening. And that's where I think shift happens when I teach.
Yeah, so it sounds like you find tremendous value in being able to hold the space in an empathetic way.
I do, and I find, you know, how each of us has those things where it's like that I believe is my strength. So when I don't know what to do, I just hold the space with love and empathy. Because I'm like, I don't know what else to do. So I just hold it like that.
And she does it like a rock star.
Well, I believe that if we do nothing else and just do that, we're serving the world in a beautiful way. People are craving that. They want to be held. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. You know, they come to yoga and come to their mats for potentially physical reasons, but as they get more educated and more aware and they grow to learn about the asana practice, we all know that it shifts and it goes and filters into other areas, and everything at the end of the day is all intertwined. So holding the space with love and empathy is a great space to be. Okay, so when you guys have time, just read through the next pieces here, just a little bit of what we talked about last time with the simple coaching models. I'd like for you to turn to page 73. We'll go through one more before we go into our session, self-statements. And Who else is on? Doesn't matter. Nikki, are you still on? I think she left. Anna, would you read the first half of self-statements?
Sure. Self-statements are a unique personal communication of experience and point of view we each have. In coaching, the client will recreate with you the process that she does in her life and in her business. The client will always show you, not just tell you, exactly what it is like to be her. Careful observation and...
That's okay, because I just want to be mindful of the time. So, anyone, what does that last sentence mean to you? The client will always show you, not just tell you, exactly what it's like to be her or him.
Well, I think it goes back to those 9 clues.
Say more.
Well, I mean, just, you know, you'll... Oftentimes people will be saying one thing, but like their body language or their voice or so many things. I mean, so much more is communicated that's not actually words. I mean, even more, I think, than words. Being able to study people's, you know, just the way they look at you or their way, you know, if this is in person, you get so much more information through their body. How they stand, how they cross their arms in front of them, if they're able to make eye contact with you, you know, if they're nervous, if they're, you know, I learned so much more about people when I look at them than when I actually talk to them. And I think that comes from watching bodies and studying bodies in yoga. You know, I just find it fascinating. People tell their story before they even open their mouth.
So well put, and that was going to be my next question, yeah, is what's the parallel here with watching your students?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable how much you get. Don't you teachers agree? I mean, it's just like it all comes through in their physicality, and I'll email this to all of you, but there's this amazing TED Talk about body language.
That would be great. I would love to see it personally. So if you could send that out.
I will.
That'd be awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds great.
All right. So we are at the top of the hour, just a minute past. And Kia, before you came on the call, I rearranged the coaching because I didn't know if you were going to be on, but I would still love for you to coach Anna if you're prepared for that.
Sure, why not?
That's great. And so Minx, you'll go back to being the primary observer, so we'll stick to our schedule.
Okay, great.
Everybody good with that? Okay, so from Anna, everyone else, press *6 to mute your phone. Ladies, give us a minute to do that. Watch your time and have a great session.
Are you there, Anna?
Hi, Kia. Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
Actually, not feeling all that great. My stomach this morning kind of is upset. So low energy for today, but I'm excited to talk to you.
Is your stomach upset because you have anything emotional going on?
I think my stomach is a way to tell me to slow down a little bit. I mentioned before that I'm in the process of getting together everything for a teacher training that is taking place in Santorini. So it's away from my home base. Athens is my home base and Santorini is an island. So it takes a little bit more effort to put together everything. So it's coming on like really nicely, but today my stomach kind of remind me that probably I had some stress that I wasn't aware of.
Where are you living now?
I do live in Athens, Greece.
Oh. Is that where you're calling from?
That's right.
I had no idea. Wow, that just put on a whole different tilt to the conversation.
I had mentioned once here, I know that this is not relevant. I came to your class and I told you that I watch your classes online and I get inspired. That's totally irrelevant with the call, but
oh,
I just wanted to
thank you. So Anna, what would you like to take away from our call today?
Well, actually, other than that, my stomach been upset. I've been faced with this challenge this week. I'm trying to take the time to actually allow things to happen and show me the way. But because I'm a little bit stressed of putting everything together for the Yoga Work City, it seems that I'm rushing. And what I'm referring to is that I manage three yoga studios, and they kind of managing the teachers, nothing anything else. And an opportunity came up to do something like my yoga works online, but the Greek version of it. So there is 11 teachers that I had to pick up on what they would do. And instead of me doing it, I figured to share the project and ask them what they would like to do. So people kind of impressed me by the response that I got, but I felt at a certain point that some of the teachers, they were very angry to get involved and take a lead in this project, that I don't really feel that they're ready for it yet. And I had that conflict of how is it possible to be in such a hurry and want to go so quickly? So I've been trying to get space around it and kind of talk to them more about what their ideas, but it's been challenging because I have my personal agenda about what do I think about these teachers. And most of them are people that graduated to the TT like a year ago. Not most of them, a few of them. The ones that I had the most resistance to give them the opportunity. So that's what I'm challenged with.
What is your role in this, Anna?
Well, I need to make the decision and make a proposal of who is going to do what. I want to be fair. This is very important to me. Like the most senior teachers, they need to be acknowledged more, and that's very important.
So do you have a strategy right now of how you are going to make this happen?
At the beginning, I was really stressing about it, and I was trying to figure it out all by myself, but then I delegated. I asked them all to share what they were thinking. My challenge is that some of the feedback that came back, it was really in tune with, like, some people that are very strong in meditation, pranayama, and more like a restorative practice. They came back saying, oh, that's what I would like to teach, and that was a great fit. And then the newer teachers were coming back with some ideas that they're very commercial ideas, meaning like basic stuff, but I didn't feel that they were ready to do such a thing. And that's where I'm challenged. Like, what do I tell them? How do I deal with them?
Wow, I understand that. You want to keep encouraging them, but at the same time, you have to protect the interests of what you're putting out, right? And the level of what you're putting out.
Right, because it's a direct reflection of my choices, and that's kind of I guess I'm fearing a little bit. This is that's a good moment. I'm fearing a little bit of how the outcome is going to be perceived.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yes. And what's behind that for you, do you think?
Well, I'm not doing it. So I stepped away from doing all the videos on my own, and I felt that it was time for me to share and have all the team involved. And I think letting go of the keeping it all under one, like me and the process. I mean, what has been happening to me the past 7 years, 8 years that I've been back in Greece, is that the community is slowly growing, but there is not really anything solid, any yoga studio that is like worth the pain through the time or any, the community here is still doing baby steps. So I'm kind of like a little bit, because of my experiences in America, in the United States, I feel like I'm kind of like pulling certain circumstances, like these videos. It was my idea in a way, but now sharing it with everybody else, I'm just not sure if they have enough experience to deliver.
I understand. That's a hard situation to be in.
I want to be encouraging. I mean, I really, truly want to be encouraging, because no matter what, I think that it's going to be great. I'm just a little bit fearful of, I guess, letting go a little bit of the coaching aspect. I felt that I've been coaching all this time, and now it's time to let them go completely and trust them that they will be fine.
So you're saying that there is an element here of you will actually have these teachers teach anyway, and for you it's about letting go of your fear about how they will be perceived? Is that what
exactly.
I'm hearing?
Exactly. Here, you got it. That's exactly what I'm hearing. You're what you're hearing.
Yes. Oh, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Yes.
It's definitely, I didn't think of that way. I mean, till now, I thought it was more about logistical and, not logistical, ego. Like, I was thinking that they had enough ego to want to lead a certain area, but then they should have enough ego and move forward if they feel they are ready. Who am I to say you're not? You know, like, yeah, this is good for me to realize.
It is, and I understand that there's, of course, an element where you want to keep the level to a certain degree so that, you know, you have quality control, so to speak, but do you have relationships with these people where you're nurturing them as well?
Some of them. There are some yoga works teachers, and then there is some other styles of yoga teachers.
So, how can you then approach this, do you think, with a different eye?
You know, through talking to you now, I'm realizing what I would do is probably encourage them to do what they want to do, the segment they want to develop, and maybe what I would do is to have them share with me, maybe, if they want to do it that way, share with me what they're thinking. That way I will know a little bit more if they're told, like if they're not on track at all, or if they would they'll be right on the track. So that way I will be encouraging instead of not letting them do it.
That
so be around.
Like a win-win. Go
yeah.
Again, sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's better that way. It's better to tell them, yeah, go ahead, but if you want to share or you have a question about something, please share it with me. I think that's better that way.
I put myself in their shoes too, the younger teachers, and I'm sure they will appreciate having a sounding board for their ideas, so it's not, you know, they're not just sort of trying to come up with it themselves. So that sounds...
It's so true, Kia, but the past 7 years has been a big work comes up to for me. It's not that I don't want to encourage. There is so many students that came out of these teacher trainings that I really strongly feel that I've been encouraging. The problem here is that a lot of people do whatever with not having the enough background or experience or training for that, and integrity for me is a huge thing. So I, whatever I'm involved, I want to do it with high level of professionalism and also depth. So that's kind of where my fear comes, that if are they going to deliver that? That's kind of where my question is. But I think taking that step back and having the communication, then that will be halfway through, you know, like meeting them halfway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just having things in writing would probably be helpful too, right? So that they get to understand what is expected of them.
Right, too. Right. Right. Maybe structure how the video is going to take place, how long it's going to be. Give me a short description or a sequence of what they're planning to do. Maybe that way I'll have an idea if they're completely off track or if they're, because I don't mind at all inspiring them at all, like completely. Like if they, it's just a matter of me. It reflects back on me and not even on myself. It's, I feel the responsibility to the yoga community in Greece that it's, we owe to them to have good products out there and not just anything.
And you can have, I know, I mean, I do this on Yoga Glow, and I know that, you know, you can always look at how they're being received by the audience and then renegotiate whether they continue to teach or not.
That's a great idea, yeah. That's a great idea, yeah. That will give me feedback for sure.
Wow, you have a great role over there, Anna, at spreading more yoga to the people of Greece. What a wonderful thing.
Thank you. It's inspiring.
Exactly.
We're such a baby in the yoga world as far as our structure, but the heart is here, and lots of more people are doing yoga in Greece, and they're loving it, and watch you all of you guys in and the different online, you know, videos and
yeah.
stuff. So it's really inspiring.
So just sort of to come back again around to it, I'd just love to hear from you again, you know, what was the most valuable thing for you today that you took away?
Actually, the moment that I realized that it was more fear of letting go, leading in a way, and allowing the teacher, encourage the teachers to do what they do and just kind of be on the side, sharing instead of kind of trying to do it all.
Mm.
So that was a great moment for me.
Oh, well, thank you, Anna. I'm so grateful that I had an opportunity to talk with you today. What a great pleasure.
Me too,
thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, if everyone could unmute. Great coaching session, ladies. That was publishable. So, Minx, would you facilitate the feedback, please?
Sure. So, wow, that was just really special to listen to. It's such an appreciation for both of you, Anna and Kia, within this session. It was just very inspiring. And so what you want us to do this within the structure of the five, what do you call them?
The five steps of the simple coaching model?
Yeah,
that's a great structure to have around. You can just speak to if you felt like Kia went through those, and just any other insights that come to you intuitively.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the number one things that stood out for me is the space that Kia held for the call. My sense of it was that Anna felt really seen, really heard, felt a space where she could really open up because of the questions that Kia answered, but also just the nonverbal sounds like the you know, where she Kia would have an expression of empathy for what Anna was going through. And I felt like it created a space for deeper and deeper inquiry until Anna had her aha moment about, you know, this is really about my fear, and that's what's presenting the challenge here. So I thought that was really beautiful to listen to that blossom, this whole process. So to me, it was a great representation of the coach Kia holding an empathetic and present space with Anna so that Anna could be forthcoming with all that's on her mind and have her own insight and feel better about what she's her current challenge and maybe even steps to move forward with it, to come out of that discomfort into realizing the possibilities of what she wants to experience with all of this. Perhaps, I don't know if it was just me. I wasn't completely clear on what the exact agenda was at the start. I know something special unfolded, but I wonder if how important it is for us to really come to an agreement with each other as the coach and the client, like, well, would you like to focus on this today? Shall we pursue this? You know, I don't know if we need to, how laid out specificity should look. I thought there was, you know, really smart intervention, you know, perceiving intervention moments on Kia's part, and that Anna did have her strong shift in perspective, and there's a nice reframing of the session towards the end where Kia asked, what is your main takeaway? I suppose it would be interesting to see a next step laid out, a follow-up, an accountability, what will happen next, you know, to get Anna to a place of commitment in, you know, once she hangs up, what's going to go on, like specific steps. Those are my observations.
Those are very intuitive and insightful observations. Thanks, Minx. I'll give the others a chance to speak before I do. So, Jenny or Mel, do you want to add your insights?
Sure. This is Jenny. I agree with what Minx said about how Kia was, you really got the sense that she was very, very present and listening intently, and was, the empathy was definitely there. And I love the way that she asked questions. Like every answer that Anna gave her was followed with a question that then, I mean, it was just, it seemed so fluid. Like Anna figured it out on her own completely. And it was just, and it happened so quickly. It was amazing. So it's almost like I felt like Kia just provided her with a forum for Anna to like, which is, I guess, what we're supposed to be doing, which is for Anna to realize what she needed to do, which was, it's interesting too, because it sounds like exactly what I was talking about in the beginning of the call, you know, about being able to delegate and let go of some of the tasks and having faith that, you know, it's going to be okay. I mean, that's what it sounded like. It was interesting. And I think that it's so great that all of us teachers get to talk to each other in this manner, in this format, because we all go through the same thing. So it's awesome. But that, you know, it was a little unclear about exactly what Anna was trying to accomplish with the call, but based on what she said early on in the call, you know, she's stressed out. She's not feeling well physically as a result of what's going on, and that's kind of overwhelming her. And the reason why it's overwhelming her is because she's, you know, she's dealing with a lot of stress with these other people, and so I don't know what the outcome really. I'm a little confused about what the outcome was at the end, about what's going to change exactly. But it felt like, at least anyway, that Anna is a little bit more relaxed around the whole situation and not maybe so, you know, not holding on as tightly to it. And it's not completely her responsibility. Does that sound accurate a little bit?
Absolutely. No, it's all, there are no judgments here. It's just really, you know, constructive insight and feedback to help. We're all in this together to help each other grow. So yeah, your observations are incredibly valuable. Mel, what would you like to add?
Well, you have to say that both Minx and Jenny did such an awesome job. I don't feel like I have anything that's, you know, illuminating to add. I just think that, you know, the space, the container was so beautifully created and with ease. You know, it's like you didn't know the container was being created, but it was indeed being created.
for the aha moment and the value of the call. And so I totally agree, and I just I'm very happy to be with you guys. What lovely humans to be a part of.
Nice. So I'm gonna. I don't think Nikki's joined back on. Maybe she's eating birthday cake right about now. But Anna, how did you feel being coached?
Actually, it felt like I knew Kia for 15 years. Like it was easy to talk to her. I felt that I was mumbling, going into my story, and she just kind of asked the questions that kind of made me think more deeply. So that gave a lot of value to what I was talking about. To me, it was clear what I was asking, what to do with the students, with the other teachers. It was very clear for me what was the agenda. And actually asking the questions that Kia did gave me an idea to recognize my fear. And it was 15 minutes of really supportive and like encouraged a session for me.
We should have these all the time, you guys.
All the time as in every day?
No, like once a month, like the teachers get to, like a few of us get together and help, like a support group, because it's such a lonely profession.
Wow. There you go. There's an option.
I mean, after this is over, it's like, God, I've always, I'm like, you know, yoga teachers teach alone often, mostly.
I like your idea, Jenny.
Kia. Kia, yeah. I'd like to give you some space to express how that felt for you.
I can just say it was such a joy to speak to Anna. She's clearly, you know, she has such a high frequency self-reflective ability that it was effortless on my part. I feel like, you know, she just sort of did all the work and realized her aha moment was just, and it happened so fast. I hear the note about clarifying the agenda. I felt when it happened in myself, I was like, oh, that's what it is. That's what we're talking about. And I recognize I could have sort of taken a moment to clarify it, although I knew that both Anna and I recognized where we were going. And, yeah, it was just such a beautiful experience. I was aware in a different way than I would normally be, because I was aware of how I might frame, you know, how to frame the question. So it took me a little longer to ask questions than maybe it might have normally, because I was thinking about them in a different way. I think that's good. So anyway, thank you again, Anna, because that was a lovely experience.
Thank you.
Well, wow, this is such a thrill for me to be on a 12-week teleseminar call with yoga teachers. I've done this a couple of times, and we've had a few, but it's so empowering because all of you, in my opinion, already have the skills and the gifts and the awareness and the capacity to hold space and be empathetic, and to really show a sense of grace and listening skills that enable your client to show up fully in a way that they feel, like Mel said, heard and seen. And you already have those skills, so to be able to add more tools to your toolkit, or for Kia, you know, you have been teaching so much, and you know, you all are beautiful teachers, but to use your strengths that you presently have to hold space in a different way and for you to find value in thinking that the questions that you now ask, you're actually discerning a little bit differently. I can't help but think that that will serve you just working with your students, not even in a mentoring, a coaching way, but also in a yoga perspective. So the value of this is why I'm a part of it. And so I'm just really inspired by all of you who are stepping into this with such, just grace comes to mind. Grace comes to mind for me. So I thought it was really, really seamless. I agree with whoever said the sound of it, Kimmy, but is the empathy. And it really showed what we talked about in the first part of the call, the empathy and hearing the coachable moments. And that aha moment came to Anna clearly. I agree with both Jenny and Minx on and Kia. It was a little unclear in the beginning, but I think it organically unfolded between the client and the coach as to where they were headed. But if we had to put some structure around it, the best way to help clarify the agenda, just a reminder here, is to just reflect back what you heard. And you did that in many instances. But if we do it a little bit more in the beginning when you feel like, you know, you're just reflecting back exactly what she's saying to make sure that you guys are on the same page. That just helps. I thought it was as smooth as could be, but it's just a reminder of that piece. And the only other step that I feel like wasn't gotten to, maybe you would have in time, and you guys did a brilliant session in such a short amount of time. It felt like it was an hour call. You got so much. But exactly what Ming said, the follow-through. The giving her a baby step or having her make an I am committed to. I don't know if it was around maybe getting the feedback from the yoga glow piece there, but I think it's really important to keep Anna accountable for the things that she says that are important to her. And again, just one more time that, you know, that shift, that aha moment came to her on her own. By Kia facilitating the question. So I thought it was really great, and I'm so proud of you guys for doing this so well, like only in the fifth week. So there you go. That's my 2 cents worth.
Love it. Great.
And, cool. So let's just briefly go over the homework. We'll be on again this Thursday, so regular time, regular day. I already put the coaching thing away, so you guys know who you are, the coaching client and primary observer. Please read page 133 through 143 and the related articles, which are on page 233 and 237.
133 to 143, was that what you said?
Correct.
Okay.
And then the related articles, there's some supporting documents in the back, page 233 and 237. And then I'd like for you guys to check in with your buddy and just see where you are with your SMART goals. Maybe they've shifted a little bit, maybe you've attained some of them, but just sort of revisit the SMART goals.
Okay.
Okay, any questions for me before we say goodbye?
No, I sent you the TED Talk, Sasha, if you want to send that out to everybody. It's amazing. Everybody definitely, it's amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing.
I will. I'll send it out right here. Okay, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you on Thursday. Have a great few days.
Okay. Bye, Sasha. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Everyone.